This is Pandora's Box. I'm Tom Yoder from KSJD, along with Pandora's Box co-host Joni Trussell. Hi, Joni.
Hi, Tom.
And this is part two of our three-part series on meditation. Last time we talked a little bit about what meditation is and how it's beneficial. Today we're going to drop even deeper into that question is, what are the health benefits of meditation? And Joni, you've been doing some research on this. Share what you've learned.
I have, and I am quite impressed. That was what I noticed when I was doing this research. I looked at all these sites, and I was like, wow, meditation is good for everybody, for everything. So that's all I'm going to say. So starting with reducing chronic inflammation. Chronic inflammation is where diabetes comes from, certain cancers, arthritis, heart attacks, asthma. So it lowers our stress, which we talked about in our last program about how the more that we're present, the less we are worked up.
And meditation is a practice of coming back to the present moment, typically by following your breath and paying
Absolutely.
Attention to that.
So it lowers our stress hormone cortisol, and it gives us the ability to let go of distressing thoughts. It improves compassion. So another thing that we were talking about is the more willing that we are to look at our lives, the more we can look at other people and understand where they're coming from, and that we actually become more virtuous. Brain changes. So this is, it improves our cognition function, it improves our memory, it increases our empathy, it increases our mood elevation. I guess that's redundant, but it increases our mood. It elevates our mood. It reduces feelings of loneliness in the elderly. It's linked with lower doctor visits and lower doctor costs. It improves sleep. It improves neuroplasticity. And one study suggests that it slows the aging process. So it's this idea that if And I think so much of it is related to stress. Like we don't realize how anxious we are and how much of our lives are run by our anxiety or fear. And that when we're in those places of fear and anxiety, everything in our body gets elevated, and those are the things that cause disease and inflammation. And so there's a lot in studies that have been done, including studies that have been done through the Mind-Body Institute. Mind-Body Institute, I think, is the name of it, but it's through the Dalai Lama and neuroscientists, and they've been studying meditation and how it's impacted our bodies and our minds and our health.
Well, I think most of us understand at a very personal level that stress hurts us. Stress kills, I think a lot of people say. And meditation is really this practice of awareness. When you're aware of the stress that you're undergoing right now in this moment, and if you're able to even a little bit let go of that stress or not attach so strongly to that fear and anxiety and the worry that many, many of us go through, I think that's where that physical and psychological change starts to happen. I know for me, when I can bring awareness to a situation when I'm really uptight about something and I can just settle down, take a few breaths, and it's not really doing meditation so much as it is just becoming aware, and maybe those things are the same, but becoming aware of the thoughts, becoming aware of that anxiety, and just being able to sit back and look around and go, okay, I'm okay right now. I'm sitting in my office. Something might have just happened. I might have just received an email that set me off or someone said something. But I can just look around and go, you know what? I'm safe right now. I'm healthy right now. I'm safe. You know, there's no threat to me right now, even though our minds are tricking us into thinking that there's this threat going on because of that anxiety and that worry or that anger or whatever that we're hanging on to. So I do think that, despite all the studies that have been done, which are really remarkable, even just from personal anecdotal experience, I can tell you that to lower your stress, the practice of meditation and mindfulness and being aware of what you're doing and what you're thinking about is very, very helpful.
Well, and when you think about it, one of the things about meditation that you talked about last time was this idea that thoughts will come and thoughts will go. And what you learn when you're in that state is, oh, it's just a thought. And how worked up we get about our thoughts. Like, they're stories. We make up stories. We get worked up, and then it becomes this story. And what meditation has, what I've experienced from meditation is, when I start to say, there's the story, here's the story, okay, let go of the story, it actually helps me in my daily life to say, here's the story, let go of the story. And that the story is what, in my experience, even in my work as a psychotherapist, I talk about story a lot because we get so caught up in story and make it a belief system instead of calling it what it is, which is just thoughts.
It's almost like meditation allows us to come back to what's real instead of that fantasy or that story that we tend to live out a lot. We can come back and be grounded, like, you know, in the last session you talked about touching a tree when you were stressed out. Just feeling something that's very real and very in the moment can be very refreshing and take us away from that story and go, wow, where have I been? Now I'm back, you know. There's a great quote, I think it's from Mark Twain, who said something like, there were a lot of terrible things in my life, most of which never happened.
That's great.
And he's addressing this exact That's issue great. Where we just have all these terrible things that we think of that might happen or whatever, but most of them never really do happen, or at least not in the way that we think.
Well, and just to kind of continue on the tree story, so I was touching the tree and being grateful for the tree, and I looked and I saw that next to it was a cut tree, and then I looked next to that and there was a tree that was that had been cut that was disintegrating and becoming part of the earth. And I saw these cycles, and I had this awareness, and that's what brought me back to cycles of life. And that grounded me in this idea that I can get lost in, get lost in something being lost, like the forest that I was in, and realize it's not lost, it's morphing into something else.
Yeah. Well, and I think there, you know, we were talking about these physical, these studies that have been done that have shown physical rewiring of the brain, and scientists have really been looking at meditation and mindfulness practice to see what's happening in people. But maybe even more importantly, it is about this experiential outcome of sitting with your thoughts, watching them come, watching them go, getting back to the present moment. It will affect your relationships. It will affect the way you go about your day. It's difficult stuff. I mean, it's not to be sugarcoated. It's not like you can just sit down and start meditating and instantly become, you know, happy and aware and in the present moment all the time. We are constantly drawn away from what's happening around us because we have these thoughts that will carry us away into the fantasies and the stories that you were describing earlier. So we're going to talk in the next session a little bit about how to get started with meditation and how to maintain a practice, but the practical benefits outside of just the physical, which is also a practical benefit, but these psychological and physiological changes that scientists are starting to see are just really part of it. A lot of it is just, you know, your life becomes different. You look at the world differently.
Absolutely.
Well, Joni, thanks again.
Yeah, thanks, Tom.
This has been part two of our three-part series here on meditation and mindfulness practice on Pandora's Box. I'm Tom Yoder, along with Joni Trussell. Join us in another week for part three of our series. Tune in next Monday. Thanks for tuning in.